there, all you dear people. Welcome to this special Christmas episode of For Real. I am your host, Kim Stewart, and guess what? My mom joins us today, even though she swore she would never do that again after she stopped by the pod last year. I am nothing if not a persistent firstborn female. I should get a t-shirt. My mom is a delight, and I predict you will love her again. So without further preamble, which just makes her nervous anyway, here is my sweetest guest ever, my mom, Patty. Mom, thank you for coming back on For Real. You're our first repeat guest. Do you feel the joy of that?
I do, and thank you for having me back to this very awkward place. It doesn't feel much less awkward, but we can try it again.
Listen, here's the truth that you need to just revel in. You are a much requested guest. I don't think that necessarily throws shade at my other guests. They were wonderful too. But people text me, DM me, corner me yesterday at church and say, when is your mom coming back on the podcast?
Wow. Well, that's very flattering, but next year, could you find a different relative? You've got other relatives.
Probably not. I'm afraid you're in.
Okay.
So thanks for coming. I have a couple questions for you about Christmas.
I know, and you wouldn't let me see the questions again. I just want to go on record with that for the audience.
Would you like me to submit my questions in advance?
Yeah, because I could write something really wise when I'd answer.
Well, if you would prefer that, Emo, you will be the most high maintenance guest I've ever had, but I can do that. I've inhabited your womb, so you have special treatment. Okay, so thank you for joining me against your will. I'd like to ask you a couple questions about celebrating Christmas. And my very first question is, I would love to hear from you how it's going at your house. And here's why I'm asking you that. Now that I'm old, I realize you and Dad are really different, very different personalities.
You just noticed them? Wow. Okay.
I have noticed. Mm-hmm. And I think you two really actually complement each other. There are all sorts of ways that your mojo helps his and vice versa. But let's talk about the Christmas situation because you celebrate differently too.
Yes.
So talk to me about being married to someone who's very different from you and how you do things together and help each other be yourselves and thrive together, but also very different, very different.
Boy, you're starting out with a ringer.
I really am. We're not really into small talk here. So that's a different kind of podcast.
Well, let me think.
Okay.
We do things differently. Randy loves Christmas.
Yes.
He loves buying presents and giving presents. And I do too. But you know, when you're the mom, how you juggle lots of things.
Yeah.
So historically, when you kids were growing up, it was a little bit of a bone of contention, which we've worked through because now it's 52 years and you guys are gone. But I would say by mistake, I got all the kids' stuff. I'm done with the shopping. 20 seconds later, kids were opening presents.
Okay.
It didn't matter that it was 2 weeks before school was out.
For sure.
Yeah. So you were the kids going to school with all your swag and people thought
so
we were nuts.
It was so awesome. I'm so sorry that this caused you angst because it was the best for us. But first of all, we had no traditions. So people would say,
yes, I want a tradition. I wanted a tradition like in the pictures where kids come down on Christmas morning.
No.
All this stuff is there.
No, we never made it to Christmas morning.
So we're gone. There was nothing there Christmas morning. So
you would do stockings.
I did do stockings.
That was kind of a Hail Mary because you knew there's nothing left. So I'll give you an orange and a couple pieces of chocolate. You've got something to unwrap. I loved it. I mean, sometimes it was the first week of December, as I recall. It was
he's a fanatic. So I learned not to tell him I was finished with all the shopping because I knew that
secrecy is something that helps.
This was how we did it. I kept secrets. He didn't have any secrets. No, I'm glad you thought that was kind of fun.
It was so fun. I got to wear all my cute stuff.
We don't have traditions, though. If you're going to ask me about traditions, I can't say anything.
I already asked you that last time you told about Sinterklaas. Listen to that episode, guys. It's a great one.
Yeah, that's probably is a tradition. Oh, my gosh.
I loved it. We totally had traditions. I think the tradition was, this is going to be a wild ride, and it's super adventurous. And honestly, I hate to tell you, but all of my friends were so completely jealous because I would come to school December 14 in my cute little outfit. And they were like, oh my gosh, we have so long to go. And then we'd be on Christmas break and people would get their stuff. And you can't, this was before cell phones. You can't even show people pictures. Yeah. It was, people were over it and I was fully loving it.
Okay. Now I realize it was brilliant.
It really was. Okay. Yeah. You really, really dealt well with that. Here's what I remember about Dad and Christmas. One of the iconic memories. I don't know if he would feel this is iconic, but he's not my guest. When we were driving home from church one time, we were not too far away from our house. And this is post-Christmas. So probably, 26th and onward. Yeah. And it was the 80s. And one of the things we loved in the 80s were flocked Christmas trees. You remember. So we drove by, it was like, get rid of your tree day. And so these boulevards were full of all these sad Charlie Brown looking trees that people had gotten rid of. Well, there was a flocked tree.
Oh, yes.
On the side of the road. Anybody listening remember this? In the 80s, they would like spray white stuff on the tree that would both mimic a snowstorm and also preserve the tree in an alarming way. So you better believe it. Dad careens off to the side. He's like, that's a nice tree. Gets out of the car. I vividly remember this because I must have been around the age that I started noticing that, or you know, junior high, when you think everyone's watching me all the time. And of course, no one's watching you, but you think that you're being watched. I was fearful because he got out of the car in his dress, in his suit pants, lugs this tree off of our neighbor's yard.
I remember.
And puts it in the back of the minivan with wood paneling.
Yep.
And then what did he do, Mother?
He took it home and he stored it in the storage room on its side, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, you remember. Crawl
and
space.
Hauled it out the next year and said, this is incredible. We had to squish it against the side that wasn't squished against the wall and decorated it. And I mean, if there had been a match anywhere near, that thing would have gone up. And in fact, did we do that more than one year after that?
Well, my memory is that he did that more than one year, but I don't know that we used the same tree.
No,
I think he
same
got
tree,
same
huh?
neighbor.
No,
really?
It was the same one.
I mean, we're talking, $50 of savings in 1987? I'm not sure if it was worth it, but what a great story.
We still tease him about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it really was his Dutch upbringing coming into play.
Yes.
Why buy a perfectly?
Yes.
Why buy a new tree when you have a perfectly good one in your basement?
Still flop.
That's flammable.
Absolutely.
Oh, so great. What do you think of when you think of your own Christmas memories? Because Dad is not the only one in our family who would save things. Do you remember Grandma Roggen would reuse the red and white snowflake wrapping paper year after year?
Absolutely. Okay. And the ribbons.
That wasn't even his mother. It was just part of the Dutch culture.
Well,
that was your
tinsel.
Mother.
We used to
tinsel.
They don't do tinsel. I wish that would come back, actually.
Okay, do
tinsel,
it.
Tinsel, was a silvery stuff. And we'd throw it on there. And I was so jealous of my violin teacher because she would get like 10 new boxes of tinsel a year and it was fresh. Well, we saved our tinsel. And so it was like crinkled, but we would not throw it away. And I hadn't thought about that in a long time till you just brought this up. But yes, I have a memory of that.
Oh, man. No,
I have good memories of Christmas growing up. It was a fun time. And one of the, I think I saw somebody post something about this and I remember the tradition growing up for us was Christmas Eve was your church Christmas program. Mm-hmm. And everybody had a line in the whole thing. It went on for hours. And somebody got to be, like, in sixth grade, they did the nativity scene. So somebody, girl from the sixth grade, got to be Mary.
Oh.
And I never got to be Mary, okay, because I didn't have dark hair that was longer. I had short blonde.
Wait a minute.
She didn't
look
like Mary.
Who had dark hair in the town of 250 Lynn Dutch had, people?
No.
Lynn.
And she was a beautiful girl, and she got to be Mary. So I remember that. But also, then at the end, and this is what I saw online, we'd all get this bag, a brown paper bag.
Yes, we would.
Of candy.
Yes.
We would go to grandma and grandpa's.
Yes.
And that's another reason, though, we don't have traditions. We always went home to Northwest Iowa for Christmas. And so, yeah, it was just different. But yeah, I love that bag, except I hated the orange or the apple. I mean, who wants that in a bag? And I didn't like the hard candy, but I loved the peanuts and those chocolate stars to this day. Do you?
Weren't there also nuts?
Oh, yeah, there were. Like,
I didn't want
those. You had to crack.
Like real ones.
Yeah,
I just wanted the chocolate.
No.
Well, that is a hoot.
I do remember that.
I do. See, traditions, just in a different zip code.
Mm-hmm. Do they still do that anywhere?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Let us know, listeners. Also, I don't know. I had not remembered that you weren't able to be Mary. You were very
troubling thought that just came to me and I hadn't thought of. And let's see, I'm 71. So, yeah, 60 years.
A troubling thought. Well, I'm sorry to bring that up. Mom, I have another question for you. Okay. We're pivoting just a little bit. You called recently. Here's one thing I really love about you. You are ever curious. Did you know that? You are a very curious person, and you're very humble about what you don't know.
Oh, boy.
That's wonderful. Can you bottle that and give it to all of the world? Because it's so delightful. And you called a couple weeks ago, and you were talking about how you decided, or you'd kind of been talking with Jesus about how you know a lot of stuff about him. Mm-hmm. And you are wanting to move into another kind of exploration of not just what you know, but what you do with what you know. Can you talk a little bit about that, what you've been learning lately?
Yeah, that is something I've been thinking about. And I don't know what triggered this, if I was reading something, but it's like I realized, I think I read a verse, and now I wouldn't be able to pinpoint it. But it's not like I need more knowledge about Jesus. I've got tons of knowledge. I've gone to a billion Bible studies, and I've studied my Bible for years. And something, I think this verse, what it was indicating was that's no good unless you have his character. And I started thinking, you know, what is his character? Okay, so you go through like love and joy and peace and patience and self-control, all of those things. And it really hit me. It was convicting. I think I called you because I was totally convicted, thinking, Lord, I want to have your character. Because you hear, you know, with what we have now with podcasts and with, you know, the social media and everything else, there's a lot of people with a lot of Bible knowledge. I want more than that. I want more of his character. So I think that's what I was calling you about. That just kind of hit me. And it's nothing. Shoot, that's nothing new. People for millennia have written about probably that exactly same thing, but it just sort of hit me the other day. You know, you were talking about Advent with one of your people on your podcast. By the way, great podcast. You're getting great people on there. And it was some woman, young woman, and she had some Advent thing that she suggested. And I've been doing that one. And it's with art, a little piece of art that you see, and then music. And I've really enjoyed it. And it's, you know, growing up, we didn't have an Advent tradition really in my church, although I do remember four candles on top of the organ and somebody would light whenever, but I didn't really pay much attention to what it was. I didn't know what it meant. And then, you know, you grew up in the church we were when you were growing up, not really with an Advent tradition either. But I've been thinking a lot about it. And then for the last few years, I've been doing something devotional or something during that season. And this one that your friend had suggested, and it's a I think what it's taught me is that Advent really is, the whole 4 weeks is just a reminder. It's just reminding us that he kept his promise. You know, God keeps his promises. And that just, I mean, again, nothing earth-shaking, nobody's ever said before. But for me, it was like, yeah, I'm taking time to do this. And what's he saying to me? Mm-hmm. I kept my promise. Mm-hmm. I promised it millennia ago, and I kept my promise. And you can trust me to keep my promises. And that's been really kind of special for me this Advent season, just that idea, not an new idea, an old idea. But see, you get old and you still have things to learn. And so I'm a little late to the game on that. But yeah, it's been kind of a special time. I appreciate whoever that was that gave you.
I think you're talking about Tamara Hill Murphy.
Yes, that's
and
the
we
one.
Will put that in the show notes. I've so appreciated her Advent calendar too. But what I love, Mom, is exactly what you just said about remaining curious and keeping your heart so soft and malleable. You've been such a good example to me of that, because I feel like a lot of folks get to a point where, as you say, we absorb a lot of information and we have so much at our fingertips.
Yeah.
And I just have been thinking over and over about how the disciples are referred to as uneducated men, mm-hmm. and the remarkableness of that, right? Mm-hmm. That the gospel went out through the folks who didn't have a bazillion hours of training. There's something to that. There's something to this continued curiosity, this continued humility of saying, but what do I need to know, Lord? Mm-hmm. What do you want to teach me as your kid, mm-hmm. not as my tutor necessarily, where I'm quizzed on it, but what are you seeing in my life? And you have done that so well, Mom.
That's sweet of you to say, but you know, there's always more opportunities mm-hmm. and more to learn. And you keep getting confronted with things and you realize it's something in yourself responding. When you said malleable, you know, in my season of life, you know, and in the church that we go to, in most probably evangelical churches, or I don't know what any of those words mean anymore. But anyway, you know, the music has changed. I'm a violinist. I grew up playing different music in church, and it's gradually changing. And the question is, Patty, are you malleable to this? Mm-hmm. This is how this generation is worshiping God. And I remember somebody saying, repeat the same thing over and over again. And then you read the Psalms.
His love endures forever. His love endures forever.
Yep. And those were worship tunes. Right. You know, those were, this is nothing new. And it really, I mean, I have to laugh because we had, you know, Christmas carols during, when I, past seasons, Christmas carols were Christmas carols. Mm. Well, now they've changed them a little bit, and like they'll insert something in the middle.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what it is, except Silent Night. There's drums with it too.
Kind of silent.
Yes. And we had a delightful one the other week with a little rap tune right in the middle of it.
I love it.
And the question is to me, okay, are you malleable enough to lift your hands and praise the Lord to joy to the world with a drum? Or are you going to sit there and you know, get, I don't know, kind of picky worked about up. Any of this? Mm-hmm. And if I was, and it's not bad if you can't do that, because there are other churches that are doing it that way, and you can find that church. But yeah, it's the body of Christ is so vast and varied. And it shouldn't take all our headspace trying to figure out what the best way is. Hmm. You know, your dad has often said there's some heresy in every single denomination. You know, we true. Don't, none of us have this all figured out yet. Hmm. We're going to have a lot of surprises, I think. But the truth is the truth. You know, Jesus did come. It's what we're celebrating. And he did keep his promise. Hmm. And it's because of him. You know, it's because of him we live. That's we've made that choice. It's a choice. And that's what I love about this season, even though, you know, it's terribly busy. I mean, of course, everybody's so busy, they can't see straight anymore. But I realized, you know, the Lord was saying that to me too. You're giving too much headspace to that. And I love it that you have fun at Christmas. I felt like he was saying, go ahead, just enjoy all of that. But don't give it so much. The word that came to me, in fact, that was just recently in my devotions, because I was thinking, because that Advent thing, she makes you think. That girl makes you think on Advent. Isn't that something? And she has these questions and you have to think about it. And I thought, yeah, the word that comes to me that I start feeling when I'm giving it too much headspace is inadequate. Mm. Somebody's whispering in my ear, you're inadequate to do that. You know, when you asked me to do this podcast, inadequate.
I did not whisper that. That was someone else whispering. No,
it was. And I realized that because I'm not inadequate. I just have to look at this the way he's looking at it. So yeah, not everything's going to get done. And I just helped with a cookie exchange. And I didn't make those pretty cookies like everybody else did. I had Toll House with some icky little candy cane thing stuck on there. But, you know,
perfect.
It was, that was, I'm not inadequate. That was just the way it was.
More than adequate. We don't need any more fancy cookies. We need the delicious ones.
Oh, wow. Some of them were just beautiful. Yeah.
Mom, that you, first of all, I feel like you just gave a master's class in how to walk well with Jesus in all seasons. So thank you for that. Yeah. And an addendum to that. You mentioned in your season of life, kind of what you're learning. I had a couple people email me. I posted about this. And I asked if people had questions. And one question that came up multiple times was this: in your season of life, these folks were wondering, how do you parent adult children well? And actually, you talked about this a little bit on season one, but how do you do that well? Because this is different, right? We're out of the flocked tree stage into a new stage. Mm-hmm. How do you parent well? And here's my background for that. My kids are all teenagers. Well, Anna's 20 now. But I was just talking with my dear friends, Sarah, friends plural, Sarah and Sarah, about how this season of life, this time of parenting is a totally different ball game. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't feel like there's a lot of emotional rest. Someone is always in need. Sometimes the someone is me, but just lots of things, big things. The questions aren't small. The questions are big. Mm-hmm. The needs aren't small. The needs are big. Mm-hmm. Nighttime conversations are never like, what did you eat for lunch? No, ma'am. Mm-hmm. And so my guess is that is also the case parenting adults, right? I mean, when I call crying, it's typically not like, I don't call you about stubbing my toe.
Yeah.
It's about big things, big needs, big hungers. And so how do you parent well in this stage?
I have no idea what I said last year, but it's probably similar to, you don't talk that much, you listen, and you just try to support. Now, I'm still pretty good at giving my opinion.
I want
it. Sometimes that's not the right thing to do. Well, you just tell me when it's not the right thing to do.
No, I need your input.
I have a relationship with you kids that you don't take offense very readily. So I feel pretty safe in giving an opinion occasionally. But mostly with your adult children, aren't they just great? They're just taking it, and they're in the trenches, and we are sitting. I mean, they're out on the floor, giving it all, and we are in the bleachers just praying for them. Mm-hmm. We're not down there anymore, and so and it's a different culture. Mm-hmm. So seriously, what am I going to advise? I've never lived through what you're living through. Although the stage where they don't talk, I lived through that, and then I lived through the stage where they do talk. And so, yeah, there's kind of similarities, but I don't know. It's, you just pray a lot, because you think if you get to a certain stage, things are going to just kind of, you know, they're on their own now, you know, and really the Lord just calls you to pray for your kids and for your grandkids, and the grandkids come along, and wow.
another round.
So much potential. Oh my gosh. Aren't my grandkids unbelievable?
We are. You're asking a biased source, but yeah, I think they're pretty great. My nieces and nephews, my kids.
That's really super helpful,
Mom. You're saying to listen and to pray that you move into a position of complete support and coaching and prayer. I mean, mm-hmm. I just don't know that there's anything more powerful mm-hmm. yeah. than a grandparent who's praying.
There isn't. It's our weapon. Mm-hmm. It's our weapon in a culture that is, well, it's like a war type culture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot coming at our kids, mm-hmm. our grandkids, and you guys mm-hmm. too, as parents. So yeah, I think prayer is definitely a weapon.
Yeah. Speaking of prayer, the prayer ninja in our lives for many years was my grandma, your mom, Edna. Mm-hmm. And I mean, all four of my grandparents were praying people, but Edna in particular took this as a job. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was very committed. And I remember panicking a little bit when she passed away, thinking, oh my gosh,
who's praying?
Who's stepping in? Who's going to make this their thing? And of course, you are a praying woman yourself. So I needn't have feared. But she passed away a few years ago. We have a lot of folks listening who are facing that first holiday without someone that they love. In that, I call it the waiting. I've been thinking a lot about the language of loss and grief and death. And sometimes I think we do ourselves a disservice in saying both the finality of that conversation, but also kind of the nebulousness. Sometimes people say, I mean, even like I lost my mom or I lost my grandma, it always feels a little bit, mm-hmm. it feels a little bit like you don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. I know what happened. Grandma's not here. She mm-hmm. is not present with her body and she is with Jesus. And so I've started to call that space in between when grandma died mm-hmm. and when I will see her again, the waiting. And so lots of folks we've just happened to be in a season with this podcast and kind of in my life where we've been talking a lot about grief and loss. And mm-hmm. I'm wondering what you would say to that as a daughter. How, any coaching advice of how you approach the holidays in particular, but that first chunk of time where you're without the person you love?
Well, that's a huge question. And by the way, that was beautifully put. You should write a book. Seriously. No, it's true. And, you know, again, in the season that I'm in, you're seeing more loss. Right. And for me, like with my mom mm-hmm. and my dad too, mm-hmm. And Randy's parents are both gone, you know. I think that what helped me was thinking about them in their joyous times. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes the end part isn't so easy. And so I didn't think that way. I'd think about how much they, of course, missed them. Mm-hmm. And you miss, I don't know, for me, the holidays are so busy. I got carried through.
Right.
It was later that it would hit me.
Yeah.
That's when I missed my mom. And now my dad's been gone 20 years and there's still some, I think the missing is more acute now for him than it was initially.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Maybe because I'm older or something. I don't know. I have no idea. I just know that it's that way for me.
Well, that touches on, I mean, we've talked about that with other folks too, that grief is so unwieldy and mm-hmm. it's so wily.
Yeah. And it's so personal. Everybody deals with it differently. But yes, if you are a believer and the one you love was a believer, that's a whole different way of thinking. And it's not easy no matter what. Mm-hmm. You know, loss isn't easy. Mm-hmm. And I've read I don't know, I've read some different books and just reading scripture sometime, you realize, you know, it's kind of an expression, the veil is so thin.
Yes.
And that's become much more real to me, that I'm a foot away from that other side. I mean, the spiritual realm is all around us, and we don't, you know, that gets kind of woo-woo, and you start thinking, whoa, if I think about that too much, I can hardly wrap my mind around it, but the scripture is full of it.
Right.
You know, where people's eyes were open and they saw actually what was happening around them. And so that thought has hit me a lot, that I am just a step away here. And so are they.
Right.
You know, it's not, it just feels more close to me. And that's not scary to me. It's very comforting to me. That's but beautiful. Yeah, my heart goes out to everybody at holiday times when you're missing the one that was there. And that's your own personal journey to get through, you know? And I pray everybody can find a peace with that during this time and think about what the Lord's done for us. So it kind of mitigates that sorrow maybe a little.
Yeah, I don't know that I love any word more right now than Emmanuel, because it means that he's with me in this. It's not a distant. This is how following Jesus is a different ball game. It's not a moral code. It's not a hope in your own bootstraps. He is with us, skin on. So
yeah,
there's nothing more beautiful than that.
That was revolutionary. I mean, that's what turned the world upside down
and still does.
You know, that classical devotion book that we kind of looked
that
at?
That book. We'll look to that book.
Well, it's, you know, people back, I mean, they do all these devotional writings of people, even, and some are like, you know,
300 AD.
Yeah. And, 300 AD and 1100 BC and whatever. AD, I mean, it was like people with really strange names.
Yeah.
And, but up to now, I mean, then current ones, they all basically say the same themes. He's been saying the same thing to his body all these millennia.
About himself and about
himself
us.
And about praying to him and about listening. And when you discover it, you feel like it's new and you want to tell everybody.
Right.
So yeah, that can be a problem actually in somebody's life. I did go through a stage of that. We won't
go
there.
Next season.
No, that's for the other
relative. If you start singing now, go tell it on the mountain. We will understand what that particular season looked like. Okay, I have one more question for you and then the humdinger question at the end.
Wow.
You know what it is, so just don't get nervous. I would just like to ask a very shallow question that is in my own self-interest.
I'm so much better at those.
Not
Why
true.
Why don't we start with
That's
those?
That's not true. I want to know, what can I bake you for Christmas? I love to bake.
Oh, my heart is going so fast.
I do love to bake, but I don't like to do some other things. So don't ask me to like understand the depths of your heart in terms of what you would like for gifts. I'm real bad at that, but I can bake something. So what are your favorites?
Oh my gosh. And you know, you didn't get the baking gene from me.
I did not. I got all the best stuff from you.
Oh my goodness. You are. Listeners, are you listening? She is the most amazing baker.
Okay, that is not why I asked this question.
If the podcast thing goes south, you could start a bakery.
Mom.
It just came to me.
Mom.
I think that's so incredible. Of an
I
idea.
Need you to focus. That's a squirrel. What do you want me to bake? What are some of your favorites?
You
and
know,
maybe some things from your childhood that you remember
my
loving.
My mom wasn't a baker. Whole house cookies.
Okay.
And I still love them. You can make those
true.
For
I do
me.
Love those.
I just like anything chocolate, and you already know that.
I know that about you.
You make that chocolate thing that's really tall. You know that thing?
A cake?
Yeah, that
Double
big
dagger,
thing, but
yeah,
it's really, yeah, let's do that.
Oh, hilarious. I don't remember it being really tall, but
yes.
Okay.
You don't make flat ones like I do. You make like these stacked up things. See, it's so amazing.
Oh, that's hysterical. You're very funny. I was hoping for some new intel. So think about that one and tell me, because I'm bringing dessert. Okay, last question.
Mm-hmm.
I ask all of my guests this question.
Oh, is this the book question?
It is. A book you love and have been recommending, and then maybe one that you haven't yet read and are excited to read. But you can also just do backlist. If it's just a couple of things that you have left, I'll tell you last year. You want me to tell you what you did?
Yeah,
last year?
What did I say?
You Love Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. Mm-hmm. Louise Penny for Mysteries. Mm-hmm. Tony Hillerman for Mysteries.
Still a go.
I think you said still a go. Still kicking it, Tony. William Kent Kruger, maybe?
Oh, yeah, William Kent Kruger. I love him.
I do too. I love all of these things.
Well, you have a library right behind me, so if I get stuck, I'm just going to pull one off the shelf and pretend that's mine. So if it gets awkward, that's what I'm doing. Nobody can see me.
If we hear strange rustling, what do you love? What have you been loving?
Okay, I have thought about that because I know you do this. I'm on to you on this one. The one question I knew. But, and I did have you're going to be shocked because it's nonfiction.
Okay. Well, you do read nonfiction. I know, but
usually I think of fiction when somebody asks me, you know, what's a good book you've read? Okay. But this one is, we went to a conference. I'll give you the backstory. And Alistair, is that how you say it? Alistair Begg.
I just heard another person talking
about it. Scottish man who from Scotland, but has church here someplace. Okay. And probably about my age. But anyway, he taught at this conference that we were, and it was so, for one thing, anybody with a Scottish accent.
I know.
I mean,
believe anything you say.
It's really good. Mm-hmm. But he's a wonderful writer. And we got a book at that time by him, and it's called Brave by Faith.
Okay.
And he uses the story in Daniel, to compare to living in a post-Christian world.
Yeah.
To compare what we're living in now.
Yeah. You love that book. You got it from me. I haven't read it yet.
Yes, you have to.
I'm going
to
read it.
It's short. Everybody that's listening, it's short. You can read it. It's not like a big
poem.
Yeah,
it's not a tome. No.
No.
It's not Dostoevsky.
But it was really, really good. I loved that book.
Okay, great.
And that one is one. And then the other one I was thinking of, also nonfiction, is, and this is a classic. Yeah. It was written like 20 years ago, and now there's a commemorative edition.
Okay.
Because it's by Eugene Peterson, who wrote a paraphrase of the entire Bible called The Message. Who does that, first of all?
Listen.
But he did, and it's so sweet. But this book is called, and the reason I loved it, first of all, before I even read it, and then I just loved it when I read it, even though it's 20 years old, it's still so current and relevant. The title is A Long Obedience in the Right Direction.
Same direction.
And I thought,
in the
same direction. Long obedience in the same direction, which is just it in a nutshell.
That's the truth,
describing what a disciple who follows Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's a long obedience in the same direction. Mm-hmm. So that's what caught me first. And then I read it and I just loved it. And it's one of those books that when you get done, I mean, how many books do you get finished with and you think, I want to go back to the beginning now, right now, and start over?
I'm telling you, this is what happens with his writing in particular for me. I was on this podcast on our first episode this season, Jess Connolly and I talked about his book, Run with the Horses.
Oh, yes. And I bought
same
that now.
Idea. Oh. Same thing. Finish the last page and sat back in my chair and thought, I have to start over. And I'm not a rereader.
Yeah.
So that's not very typical for me. And I did. I went right. I started coming right from page one and just started watching what I had marked up and even journaling about those things. I'm telling you, this guy, did you know I met him? This is a very embarrassing story.
Peterson?
Yes, I probably told this story.
Where?
It was years ago. I made a total ninny of myself.
Why wasn't I with you?
I don't know. You should have been. Yeah. I was with Mark, who's so much calmer.
And did you get kind of crazy with him?
Well, let's just say there wasn't a restraining order, but only probably not because of his wife, because his wife was sitting there, who is also so dear. They're both absolute introverts. And she looked at me like, where's the security guard? I was weeping, insta-weeping. It's like, your message paraphrases changed Romans for me.
Yes.
I mean, I was way too whipped up. He was, and that was at an event where he was speaking. Mm. We were working for the same publisher at the time, and he was talking about Run with the Horses. We all got a copy.
My goodness.
And then it took me like 15 years to read it. So I am slow. Thank you for these recommendations. Don't judge if it takes a while for me to actually read it.
Me too. Same thing. But when when the Lord inspires somebody to write, and he had a gift of writing and a gift of crafting words.
Ridiculous.
Does that, then it lasts for ages, doesn't it?
Oh, man. He is the treasure.
Yeah.
As are you, Patty. Mama Patty.
Wow. Oh, is this it now? Or is this the closer?
I know. Okay. Anything else you want to say? Do you want to sing a little ditty?
No, I want you to pick somebody else next year, though.
Too late. You're too great. Mom, thank you for being on. You know I absolutely am smitten with you and love you. And sadly, you're too capable. We'll see you next year.
Merry Christmas, Kim.
Merry Christmas.
I hear that most teenagers go through a time when they are fully not into their parents. When every joke falls flat. When parents seem so out of touch. And definitely out of it. I never had that stage, and I'm pretty sure you can see why. This woman is funny and humble and always wanting to learn more. Patty for president. Except I would never wish that on her. Thank you, Mom, for joining me again. You are a gift to me, to Mark, to our kids, to Lindsay and Ryan and their families, and most of all to Dad, who has always seen you as his favorite co-adventurer, even when you were secretly white-knuckling it. I love you. See you in 2023. I hope to see you too, dear listeners. We have a lot more to come this season, and I'm excited for you to share this stretch of road with me. So go eat your weight in chocolate cake, have the merriest Christmas, and for the love of Pete, dispose of that Christmas tree responsibly. Joy to your worlds, and we will see you in the new year for real.